Continue with the ninth commandment. We began last week, and after looking at what is prohibited in the command, we began last week to look at the requirements. And the simplest way to look at the requirements is it's just the opposite of what is prohibited. As in all the commands, we see that we must guard the heart against whatever it is that is prohibited or whatever it is that is commanded. In this case, not to bear false witness against our neighbor, we saw last week we must defend the innocence of others, no matter who it is. We are to defend the innocence of others. There should be an unwillingness on our part to participate in false witness bearing, and that includes being the false witness. It includes receiving false witness or believing false witness. And we closed last week with one of the remedies against false witness bearing would be love to one another. Love remedies a lot of things, and certainly one of the things that it would correct or kill would be false witness bearing. The desire, it kills even the desire to bear false witness, kills the desire to hear false witness. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, we are given several characteristics of true love. It's described here as charity. The perfect example of this, of course, is Christ. We all come short in our love. No one's love is perfect. Christ's love is perfect love. And I believe what's mentioned here in verse 4 through 8 is in perfection with Christ. Of course, with us, it's not. But these are the general characteristics. This is what love is prone to do, or prone not to do. Depends how you want to look at it. We see the first thing that's mentioned, and we looked at this last week, I believe, charity suffereth long, which immediately tells us that those that we love are not perfect. Wouldn't have to suffer long if they were perfect. So immediately, we are reminded that people are not perfect. Those that we love have faults. Those that we love have flaws. They have blemishes. In other words, there's things that are wrong with them. The fact that it suffereth long shows that there are things that they will do that will bother you, that will stress you, or whatever. But the tendency of love is to put up with it. So love is opposed to the spirit of vengeance, which of course feeds false witness bearing. It's opposed to the spirit of resentment. We see that in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. The next thing he mentions is that love is kind. That is, the love of God in the heart inclines us, it persuades us, it influences us, it motivates us to do good unto others. Now, to bear false witness is not to do good. That's to do harm unto others. To receive or to participate in false witness bearing is not kind. It's an act of It's an act of cruelty. It's an act of unkindness. Now, the principle is stressed. And notice in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus stresses the principle of this kindness in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. That's not an easy thing to do. Love your enemies. Doesn't say love your friends. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That's a hard thing to do. Love has that tendency, though. Love's the only thing that can do that. Do good unto them that hate you. Once again, this is the tendency of love. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them and persecute you. And by doing so, as you read on, you manifest that you are the children of God. And he gives the example of God, how God is kind. He's causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So God's our example of kindness. For if you love them which love you, that is, you love to return love, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same. That is, lost sinners are able to do that. So this love is kind. It does good unto those who do bad unto us. Jesus teaches the same thing in Luke 6, verses 35 and 36. Also notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves, talking about the church, but then it goes further than that, and to all men. So, love in the heart is kind, therefore it serves as a restraint against false witness bearing, whether being just a partaker of it or the spreader of it. Love envieth not. We've already seen that envy is one of the things that feeds false witness bearing. It vaunteth not itself. That is, it does not act superior. It goes on to say it is not puffed up. It does not feel superior. It does not act superior. It does not feel superior. In other words, it's not proud. It's not proud. And we've already seen that pride is fuel to false witness bearing. People many times tear down others in order to make themselves feel good about themselves. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. What that means is love acts properly. That's quite a statement, and there's a lot there that we're not going to spend time with, but love acts properly. The love of God in the heart seeks that which is proper, does that which is proper, seeks and does that which is becoming, and does so in all circumstances. Love in the heart of God, or love in our heart, the God's love in our heart, causes us to seek, that is, on our behalf, seek to do what is proper. Seek to do what is right. This is a struggle, because there are times, if you're honest, we get tired of doing what's right. How many times we've said to ourselves, or maybe some, I'm just tired of doing what's right. I want to lash out. I want to whatever. But love fixes that. Love restrains that. The love of God in our hearts motivates us to do that which is fit and becoming in behavior. It cares about others. It's mannerly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Then perhaps the next statement is really sums up love in its entirety. Seeketh not her own. Love does not seek its own. In other words, love is the opposite of a selfish spirit, selfish and pride, of course, go hand in hand. It's hard to separate the one from the other. But love to God in the heart will put others ahead of self. And that, of course, has a lot to do with refraining from false witness bearing. So once again, love in the heart is a restraint against false witness bearing. Love is not easily provoked. That is, it's not easily aroused to anger. Doesn't say that love is never provoked. That's not what it says. It says it's not easily provoked. So it stands opposed to not so much anger, but it stands opposed to an angry and wrathful spirit. If you love somebody, you do not have an angry spirit toward them. You may get angry, but you do not hold on to an angry spirit. Big difference. And a wrathful spirit. Love is not easily provoked. It does not. Love will not allow you to get stuck in anger. You can get angry, but love will not allow you to get stuck there. It just won't happen. Love fixes that. Love does not seek reasons to justify anger. There are people who are angry and they want to make sure they stay angry. So they justify, every day they justify their anger. Love doesn't do that. Love does not seek to justify anger. Anger can be justified. No, there's no question about that. But love does not seek reasons to justify anger. So love of God in the heart overcomes ill feelings toward others, which of course is huge, and avoiding false witness bearing. Love thinketh no evil. That is, it's contrary to a critical spirit. Does not allow one, doesn't mean that we don't see the faults in others. Love puts up with those faults. But the love in the heart does not allow us to have a fault-finding spirit. There's a big difference between seeing faults in another person. If you're around anybody for, it doesn't take very long. It doesn't matter who it is. You're around anybody for any length of time, you soon realize this person is not perfect. They have faults. So love sees faults, but love doesn't go looking for faults. When you go looking for faults, now you've entered an entirely different realm, and it's not one that the love of God in the heart would lead to. So it thinketh no evil. In other words, the love of God in the heart is prone. It is prone to put the best construction on the motives or conduct of others. If the very first thing you think of another person's actions is that they're wrong, and it's critical. The very first thing you think, then there's a great lack of love. Love tends to put the best possible construction, behavior of others. Now, this, of course, would kill false witness bearing. False witness bearing feeds upon the critical spirit, feeds upon that fault-finding spirit. The love of God in the heart does not think evil of another based on rumor. Thinketh no evil. It needs more than rumor. So love of God does not think evil of another. Love of God in the heart does not seek opportunity to be critical. And again, that's what false witness bearing does. It seeks opportunity. It can't hardly wait. So love fixes that. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. People sin. We all do. But love finds absolutely no delight in the sin of another person. We all have faults. We all have shortcomings. Love finds no delight in those faults. Now, that's what the false witness bearer does. The false witness bearer, he or she, does find delight in the sins of others, and therefore they spread it. They do find delight in the faults of others. But you see, love is just the opposite. Love finds delight in the virtue of others. Why don't people talk about the virtue of others? I mean, we realize that some do, but for the most part, we're all very aware that people's faults are discussed more than their virtues. Why is that? Well, it's because people find delight in other people's faults. They find delight. They take pleasure in it. They don't take pleasure in someone's virtues necessarily unless it directly affects them in a positive way. Love fixes that. And again, if we rejoice or if we delight in the sins and of others, then we're going to, I guarantee it, we will be guilty of false witness bearing, either the telling it or delighting in receiving it. Because a lot of people hear things, and deep down they know, you know, this probably isn't true, but man, this sure makes my day. I have something to do now. I can tell others. And that's pitiful. That's shameful. That's ungodly. That's wicked. Love fixes that spirit. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace to us. We pray, Lord, that you would meet with us today in a special way, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd draw us closer to thee, that we might be more like thee in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we feel. Lord, that you would just help us in a mighty way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.